Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today in the cozy confines of Studio B is Hari Menon. Hey, Hari.
Yeah, hi, Robert.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I think it's been like 6 to 8 months now.
Something like that.
Yeah,
way too long.
Way too long. Yeah.
So we're doing this right after Build, and there were a lot of cool things shown at Build last week.
Mm-hmm.
Among the cool things that was in Scott Guthrie's demo were a couple of driving apps. One was a guy in the fancy BMW car where it was talking to him. And the other cool app that had to do with driving was the My Driving app.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do on this show, I've been thinking about doing this for a while, is switching this show to not just be about tooling, but also about what you can do with the tooling.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to spend more time in this show building apps, showing how apps are built, exploring the actual building of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking about this for a while and thinking, you know, I should put together some demos. And then you emailed me and said you wanted to show the My Driving app. And it's like, A, you're on the show. B, showing something cool. And I get to start off this thing of showing how apps are built with an app that you're going to bring.
Yeah.
So it works out really well.
I know, perfect timing, right?
It's
like meant to happen. So about the My Driving app. So My Driving app essentially is, it's an Azure IoT and mobile sample that we put together.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we wanted to do was make it easy for developers to understand mobile apps are amazing. IoT is amazing, but we want to really show what happens when these two come together. So My Driving really brings these two things together, and the best part is the code is free.
Okay.
We have detailed reference documentation that helps you understand how the team went about building it in a short span of 6 to 8 weeks.
Right.
Detailed technological recommendations if they wanted to pursue something similar.
Mm-hmm.
What is available in Visual Studio, Visual Studio Team Services, all the other DevOps suites that we have, and our Azure offerings. The best of the breed in Azure offerings is going to enable you to build highly scalable, performant, and available applications. So this app kind of ties everything together.
Mm-hmm.
All the sources free.
Cool.
Available on GitHub. You can go download it now. We're going to show it to you at the end of the session where you can do it.
It's a cross-platform app. So we've got Windows, iOS and Android.
Yes.
We're using Azure, we're using sensors.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about it is, you know, I've seen a lot of sensor demos and you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the IoT, and you know, sometimes it's you can see stuff that's, you know, about you have to solder stuff and it's lights flashing and it's kind of, you know, the engineering, electrical engineering stuff that, you know, a lot of people used to do as kids, but I never did. And so this seems to be, this is cool because it's a more practical example. Here's, you know, sort of like a real world thing you can do.
Yes.
Where as you're driving your car, it's gathering information.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that our cars are just putting out massive amounts of information, but this is a way for you to tap into that.
Yes.
And then gather information from a sensor and then do something with it, which if you think about it is really what IoT and connected devices are all about, right? It's devices that are gathering data. And they're only useful if you do something with that data.
Yes.
How do you gather the data? Where do you store that data? Where do you analyze it is really what it's all about.
Yeah, and the best part is since our Xamarin Next solution, we have an amazing platform to actually visualize that data in mobile applications as well. So it kind of really ties the entire story end to end. The first things first, I wanted to actually show how the app looks like. So do you want to start?
I do.
So let me, I'm going to go ahead and mirror my iPhone.
Switch over to that.
I'm going to go mirror my iPhone. Give me 1 second. Voila. So so you can see here that I have my iPhone ready. It's being streamed onto my Mac.
Mm-hmm.
So first, the best part about it was, I know you guys on the video, you know, on Channel 9 is not going to be happy about it, but everybody at Build, we gave them access to all the applications as soon as Build was done. Like when Scott Guthrie's keynote ended, everybody got an email saying, go download it.
I didn't get that email.
All the attendees, not Microsoft employees. So just the attendees, like 4,000.
Man.
Yeah, it was amazing, right? So we sent it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And So we got a lot of people actually reaching out and saying, hey, it's awesome. We just tried it out. Unfortunately, we can't put out the iOS version out in Hockey App for everybody out in the wild to try it. But if you go to our starting page, you can actually download the app right now from Hockey App for Android and Windows.
Okay.
But iOS, due to device policy restrictions, you have to build and deploy it ourselves.
Okay.
But we are thinking about actually releasing it on the App Store as a demo app at some point, but we are not there yet. So I'm going to go into Hockey App. As you can see, ring.hockeyapp.net. I'm going to go into my dashboard, and you can see my driving for iOS. I'm going to open it. So you can see a release notes, a history, the feedback that I have sent the app, and I'm going to hit install. I'm going to say yes. Now I'm going to switch back to my screen. I can see the app is installing. Just 15 megs, takes like 10 seconds to install. It's done. Watch what happens when I start it. It says, hey, untrusted enterprise developer. Apple's pretty hardcore about what site loading is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my settings, go to general, go to profiles and device management, and trust as application.
Okay.
So I'm going to say this is a certificate that we signed the application with. We're going to trust it. I'm going to switch back and again start the app. So as soon as you start, we wanted to put forward how a real consumer app looks like. So you have this beautiful carousel kind of view where you know what you have to do to get started with this application. So you can see, hey, you have to plug in an OBD2 adapter. OBD stands for onboard diagnostics. Most cars after 1998 have this port somewhere.
How do you know if your car does?
I know some electric cars don't, but it's like a standard. So most cars have to follow it, and you're going to find it underneath your driver's cabin. You have to feel around for it, not very accessible, but you can plug it in. It's for a flashlight, not too hard.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can see OBD adapter. So for iPhone, you need to use a Wi-Fi version of the OBD adapter. It's available on multiple online retailers, and on our Getting Started page, we give you links of which ones to buy for what platform.
Okay.
Android and Windows Phone, you use Bluetooth, and for iPhone, you use Wi-Fi.
And they're about how much money these things?
The Bluetooths are very cheap. It's like $20-$30.
The
iPhone's slightly more expensive. That's one of the goals was to make it, as you said, right, practical as well as easily accessible. We didn't want folks to spend a ton of money trying to put boards and sensors together. And expertise, this is just buy it from Amazon and you're good to go.
Okay.
Right? So I'm going to, done, you can see track your trips. I'm going to dismiss. So we support login Facebook, Twitter, and Microsoft using the Azure App Service. So Azure App Service provides amazing authentication mechanisms for most of the popular logins. So we just use that. I'm going to now log into my test account. Because I'm going to use my password, I'm going to do something to hide it. Okay, let me just cover it with my...
I'll switch over to us. There, it's hidden.
Okay, that works.
Just play it on the screen and no one
will
see
it. Perfect. So I'm going to let me just log in before my battery runs out. I think
okay.
So it just finished. So it asked me whether I want to track my location. I say yes. I'll first take a look at the past trips. If I go to my past trips, you can see this beautiful view of all the previous trips that I've done using this application. You can see the number of miles I have traveled. And this map that you see is actually a Bing API. So there's a Bing map API where you can say, pass your start and end point or something, and it actually generates a PNG image of what you need. So we use that API. So we use the best of services that we have. So I'm going to click on, let's say, one of these examples. At this point, it loads it up, and you can see, hey, I traveled. As I'm traveling, you can see it updating in real time, the amount of gallons, the speed I had, elapsed time. It was pretty amazing. So it actually allows you to play back your existing trips, your trip past trips that you have done. And look at how smooth that is.
So this is similar to what the insurance companies want to do, right? Track your driving so that they can discover that they should probably charge me more money than they want to. More money than I want them to.
They use the same kind of sensor, the same kind of thing. So we built something very similar, but that you can actually try it out today.
Okay.
If I go to my if I go to my profile, by the way, that's not me. That's not me on the screen. But this essentially shows our test app. You can see I have driven a total of 107 miles, the time that I've spent, fuel consumption.
Max speed, 72.7. Yeah, good for her. You go, girl.
So the fuel consumption, the number of total trips, the number of hot
actually that wasn't around campus.
It's not on campus, no. It's outside. No. Follow the law. So I can go to my settings screen, and I can actually see all the settings that I can change, all the notices. You can actually use this button to leave feedback on your hockey app. So we can get real-time feedback from your from your testers, or even from public consumers using HockeyEgg SDK just within the application.
Cool.
It's an amazing part. It not just allows you to beta test and distribute the application, it allows you to collect feedback and even feedback like crash logs. So I'm going to skip that. Now let me show you how a simulated trip looks like. So if I go to current trip, I can actually start recording right away. It tells me that obviously I don't have a simulator lying around or plugged right now.
Right.
So I'm going to, an actual OBD device. So I'm going to use a simulator. At this point, we kind of fake what we're doing. So all the data, so you don't really need an OBD device to try this app out.
Yeah.
It kind of simulate the data for you. But if you send that data to the cloud, we're now going to actually process it using our machine learning algorithm to understand how good a driver you are, because it's kind of made of data, right? But we essentially allow you to, like, if you walk around, it'll actually update the trips and everything, and you'll actually do a small walk and actually capture the data that you want. So that is how the app looks like.
So does it just record that data, or does it actually try to decide whether or not I'm a good driver?
It does. So what we do is we take, so if it's simulated, we don't. But if it's from an actual device, what we do is we send to Azure. It goes to Azure IoT Hub. In the IoT Hub, what we do is it goes through streaming analytics, it goes through event hubs, it goes through, then it actually gets persisted in a database, and we have an Azure Data Factory, an HD Inside Jobs, that takes that data up and passes it through a machine learning model.
Okay.
And the machine learning model, based on the whole pool of drivers using the app, tries to understand on factors like how hard you accelerate, how hard you stop, what kind of driver you are, and places you in the one of three brackets. So it's a job that runs daily, and daily improves its prediction based on the amount of data it gets. So there's also a wonderful example for you to get started on a real-life machine learning example. And we actually have the model as part of the script. So you can even deploy the model to your subscription if you want.
That's intriguing.
Yeah.
Like, I know how I drive.
I know, I'm terrible at this.
And I know that I also know that I'm a very good driver, although I admittedly drive a bit more spiritedly, we shall say, than others on the road. So it'd be interesting to see what this thing says about my driving.
Yeah, you should try it out. It's going to be fun. It actually tells you how hard you stop and accelerate, which is kind of the fun part for me.
Yeah.
So, saying that, I'm going to actually shift to, let's take a look at this slide. The first thing I'm going to talk about is, I want to talk about the architecture first, and let's just start off with that. The first thing you can see is that, hey, you have an OBD sensor. This is the IoT in the IoT device, right? It's the IoT in my driving. What the OBD sensor does, it takes a lot of information from the ECU and parts of the car, things like the mileage, the temperature, the check engine light codes, your air pressure, how hard did you stop, what is the RPM, what does the torque look like, all that fun information based on different models of the car gets pumped through that OBD sensor. Another thing that we really were passionate about was we wanted to make it cheap. So if somebody goes and tries to build their own cellular connectivity to the IoT device, it's kind of expensive. You have to build a Raspberry Pi port together and somehow connect it to a transponder. It's pretty expensive. So we thought, hey, why not use the phone as the field gateway?
Okay.
The phone actually acts as a conduit for all the information that is coming in from the IoT device and pushes that information to Azure.
Okay.
So also, the phone is also the second IoT device in the problem. It actually gives you GPS coordinates. So data from both the phone as well as the OBD device gets pumped into an Azure IoT Hub. The Azure IoT Hub is this amazing piece of technology that Anna Server is offering that enables you to process hundreds and millions of events that are streamed into Azure. It takes all that telemetry and takes the telemetry and pushes that into a SQL database, which is then read by the Azure App Service, which is part of the Azure App Service, which basically acts as a backend for a mobile device. So you have multiple web APIs hosted here, and the application talks directly to this Azure API surface to see all the beautiful data that you saw before. Before we go further into more code and demos, I want to actually talk about, as part of the architecture itself, are the different workflows, data workflows in the Azure side. The first workflow I'm going to talk about is So one thing I missed is that, hey, you know, the app is actually delivered to beta testers using Hockey app. Now, the first one is the workflow. Is this a hot path? In IoT, there's something called a hot path. And what happens here is that as soon as data comes into IoT Hub, it is sent to the event hubs. The event hub is actually taken by Azure Streaming Analytics. It does some selections, some queries on it, and that goes to event hub. At the end of the event hub, there is a microservice running. So microservice was a huge part of Scott Koo's keynote. So this microservice, all it does, it takes the VIN number of your car. We actually don't send the entire VIN number to protect your privacy. We just send the first six digits. That helps understand the make and model of your car. So it understands the make and model of your car using the small microservice, the small state database that it takes up and tries to compare and figure out what make and model, and writes that information back into a SQL database. Okay. So it shows real-time processing off your IoT data as soon as it comes in. The second workflow is the cold path. What happens here is all the data that's coming in, the Azure Streaming Analytics again takes the data and just dumps them into blob storage, which is super cheap, and it is for cold storage, right? At some point, we have, you know, at a certain cadence, we have some HD Inside jobs that actually spin up, take all this data, does some transformations to it, and writes it into Analytics DB.
Okay.
From this Analytics DB, we have live Power BI dashboards that directly connect to this database and provides amazing visualizations for you. So this kind of shows you how you can do cold path, hot path, using different ways to visualize information, like using a mobile application or like a system like Power BI.
So you can then look at the information using Power BI?
Yeah. So we have a live dashboard.
Your own dashboard?
Yeah. We have two dashboards we can demo today, both a live one as people are driving, as well as an hourly one that shows status over.
A live one as people are driving, they should probably not be looking at.
Oh, no. This is from an operational perspective, right?
Right.
Yeah. The final scenario that I want to show is the machine learning scenario. So one second. The final one I show is machine learning. So what happens here, as data comes into Azure IoT Hub at a certain cadence, what we do is we take look at all the data, feed it through a training experiment, and the results then fed into a predictive experiment that allows us to understand how good a driver you are based on the pool of folks that is driving in that that's using that application on that day.
Right.
So daily, your average score reflects the data from all the drivers, and it's a different value probably each day, and it might vary based on how the different drivers behave in that pool. Mm-hmm. We can even predict.
Is it the drivers that are doing similar routes to you?
Right now it's kind of global, but what it allows us to also do, if you actually, if you did that work, was to predict, give down a certain area, where could the driver percentage look like, hey, this area probably has X percent of bad drivers, X percent of good drivers, etc. So we can do a lot of analysis on that data.
X percent of slow drivers, which causes me to drive more quickly than others.
It's amazing. Have you seen you saw the Oxford API demos that are built, right? It's just beautiful. We can just walk around, real-time analysis. So it is. It allows us to do a whole bunch of these things, and we made use of that, and we wanted to make a sample that's easy for people to grasp and actually understand. So my driving is a really good example of a machine learning sample you can take a look at.
Okay.
So saying that, now let's switch to
So I know that and you're going to talk about this later, but I'll just mention it now, that there is a 150-page reference guide that goes into a lot of this detail. Do you also show how to set up these various pieces?
Absolutely.
There seems to be a fair amount of work that's going to take place in the Azure portal, setting things up and hooking things together.
Actually, not so much. You'd be surprised. We have a script that uses Azure Resource Manager templates to deploy this for you.
Okay.
If you use a Mac, we have, or Linux, we have Bash scripts. If you use Windows, we have Windows PowerShell scripts that you can use. Yes, there is a little bit of manual steps like for Power BI, Service Fabric, and I believe, basically those two things, you need a little bit of manual configuration.
Okay.
But everything else pretty much gets set right out of the box using our scripts.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Switch.
Yes.
All right.
Oh.
Oh, this
you're
is
gonna switch machines. All right.
I'll have to switch machines.
Okay.
Let me.
Wait for that to show up. There we go. All right.
The first thing that I'm going to show you guys is the Visual Studio solution.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the entire source code shown in Visual Studio 2015 Update 2. On the left, you can see our Cloud Explorer, and then all the Azure services and resource groups that we have used in the application. It's connected to my live production service, so if I actually open, let's say, Application Insights, you can actually see all the services that I'm using there.
Okay.
On the right side, you can see, let's concentrate a bit on the mobile app side of things. So here you can see there is a UWP head.
Yep.
There is an iOS head,
yep,
and an Android head.
Yep.
UWP is .NET C# sharp and XAML that we all love. iOS Android is, again, mm-hmm, Xamarin, which we all love again.
Okay.
So
there is a shared and a portable?
Yes.
Ooh,
so in shared, what we... Yeah. The reason, I think it's really interesting you use both.
I haven't seen a lot of
because, for example, if I have...
Both.
Yeah. If you actually have some if-else that you want to use in certain interfaces,
mm-hmm,
and things like that, you would actually use a shared because you can't have, you know, a conditional compilation in a portable class library.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think to have true sharing, it is great if you can actually do both shared projects and portable class libraries.
Okay.
The best part is most of the code for all the mobile apps rides in the portable class library over here. We managed to get 70% code sharing between iOS, Windows, and Android,
mm-hmm,
which is amazing.
Yeah.
So you can see most of our services, view models, and models exist in the portable class library. And we have heads for each individual ones. So let me show you something. I want to show you how easy is it for you to talk to Azure IoT Hub. So wait for it. That's it. This is the way to send a single event to Azure IoT Hub. This is a way to send a batch set of events.
Cool.
So, sorry, this is the batch and this is a single. So imagine like 15 lines of code,
yeah,
and you literally have, it's very easy for you to talk to the Azure services using this. So if you go to add connected service, you can actually install in Azure Connected Service, IoT Hub Connected Service.
Okay.
If you go to Tools and Extensions and search for it,
okay,
and using that, you can actually generate even the code for you, the scaffolding for you.
Cool.
So that's essentially the portable class library that we have, the different heads for it, and we have a bunch of utilities for parsing OBD data, all that we have done, and all this code is actually available here. If you go to Azure Samples at My Driving,
okay,
just clone the repository and you get everything that you need to actually start building this application.
And now that Xamarin is free,
yes,
you can get the full-blown version of Xamarin to use with your Visual Studio.
Uh-huh. And the best part is, like, one of the things that I didn't talk about was we talked about deploying their own service, right? We want to make sure that because there are so many Azure things going on, we don't want to blow your budget.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make it affordable for you to run it for a couple of days to try it out. So we calculated, if it's like for four drivers, like total of 100 trips, if you want to try out, it's probably going to cost you $157 or less. And that is for the entire set of Azure services with very good usage.
Mm-hmm.
That is well within the $200 free credit that you get for a new Azure account. And if you have an enterprise account with Microsoft, enterprise via MSDN subscription,
mm-hmm,
it's just $7 more than the 150 free credits
right
you get a month. So
that's
actually very
yeah
reasonable. And
mm-hmm,
I don't think you'll hit that limit that fast as well, unless
right
you're really stressing the system out. But we wanted to give you the upper estimate so that you're careful about, you know, how
right
we deploy these things.
Cool.
So this is the GitHub repo. As you can see, you can just go ahead. We have a lot of information about this. If I go to my Driving homepage on Azure.com, it is your get started page.
Okay.
And this way, you can actually see how to use My Driving. That is, just use the app in your in our sandbox environment that we are going to keep alive for some time.
Hmm.
And the second one is, how do you build your own My Driving solution? So if I go to My Driving, we have detailed examples of how to use mobile experience, how to install Android, Windows, how to do is iPhone, all that fun stuff. And if
cool
I actually go to my build your own My Driving solution, it's going to tell you how to deploy and build these things into Azure,
mm-hmm,
the services, how to use our scripts, all the information up is here. So it's really easy for you to get started. And you did mention the reference guide. So if you go down, you can actually download the reference guide here. It's a pretty detailed documentation, as you can see. It gives you a detailed understanding of how we went about. It's pretty long. It's 147
yeah
pages of
wow
awesome information. So, saying that, why don't we actually see the continuous... So one thing I did not really spend a lot of time was on the continuous integration aspect
of
what we did. So this project was done by a small team in 6 weeks. We built the entire thing from ground up to 6 to 8 weeks. So one thing is really important when you do such short release cycles is the ability for you to quickly iterate. And we use VSTS to set up continuous integration. That means every time a dev made a check-in, if I'm going to, you know, let's say somebody makes check-in at 4 o'clock and I'm going home at 5:30 or 6, mm-hmm. by the time I'm getting to my car, I already have a new update on my phone through Hockey app with that same change the developer checked in. So I'm instantly able to test it out. Right. And file a bug as soon as I saw something amiss. So it really tightened up our dev workflow. Like, as soon as somebody makes a check-in, you get an update, you test it out. So we had really good continuous integration set up using VSTS and Hockey app, mm-hmm. as well as Xamarin Test Cloud. Every time somebody made a check-in, it used to get tested on hundreds of devices, right. real devices in the cloud, and we would know if there's something, a problem or not.
Right.
So I'm going to show you the dashboards that we have built.
Okay.
So this is our dashboard for VSTS. You can see we have an iOS build running here. We have an Android build running here, and we have a UWP build running here. This Markdown widget shows us the results of the Xamarin Test Cloud execution. Mm. We have Hockey app widgets for iOS, Android, and UWP.
And does the reference and user guide show me how to set those up as well?
It actually, the script does that for you.
Oh,
but
okay.
not the dashboard. It actually sets up the continuous integration pieces.
Right.
The dashboard is something that you go configure yourself.
Okay.
It's actually very easy. Like if you just go click this button, right? I'm going to say add, and I can select from a list of things that I want to add.
Okay.
And once I select, I can just configure the dashboard the way I want to.
Right.
So let's go look at the iOS build definition. I'm going to say yes. You can see all the builds that have been happening every time somebody makes a change. If I edit, you can see the different steps. For example, we actually use Mac and Cloud because you need a Mac to build an iOS device. So we use a Mac and Cloud service to actually build, build and deploy the application. So you can
see.
How did
you choose that over a physical Mac? What went into that decision?
It was actually a hosted service, beautiful integration with this VSTS.
Mm-hmm.
It was just create an account, add a new task, and we were done. So that's one of the big reasons that we use. We did test it on local Macs, but then Mac and Cloud is a really good service for you to actually provision. So you don't have to really maintain a Mac and stuff in your own enterprise, right? You can just offload it.
So for building, I can see how that would be really cool. What about designing the UI? Because you need to be connected to the Mac to do the storyboard, right?
Yes.
Does that work at all? How does that work on Mac and Cloud?
It doesn't. Mac and Cloud is just a host agent for your builds, and we use a Mac or a Mac Minis that's hosted somewhere for people to share and actually use it. Xamarin Designers in Visual Studio.
Okay. Had you considered using Xamarin Forms for the UI?
We did. We thought about it, but if you look at the UI, it's really customized. Xamarin Forms is amazing for forms or data, but if you look at the UI, it's very very consumer oriented.
Okay.
It's got a lot of polish and a lot of. It looks very native, very fluid.
Yeah.
And doing that same amount in Xamarin Forms was probably not the right thing for us to do at that point.
Okay.
So we decided, hey, we want to go complete native.
Right.
So we designed the UI separately in UWP, Android, and iOS. So you can see a bunch of tasks here that does it. Like, for example, it builds Xamarin iOS, packages the application, and does a drop. If I go to release in VSTS, you can see the different release builds that have gone out. And if I go click on the iOS one, edit, you can see for alpha, we're actually using Hockey app to publish that results in the Hockey app dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
It's very seamless. Now let's take a look at the Xamarin Test Cloud. So as I said before, if I go to my Xamarin Test Cloud instance and go to my Android version, and I click on, let's say, this particular test pass, it tells me how many tests passed, how many on which devices failed, the peak memory, the application size. It gives me a lot of great information.
Mm-hmm.
If I click on a particular test, it actually tells me all the devices that this particular application
this
ran under.
It is pretty
amazing. But you know what my favorite part is, though, as a program manager? If I click here, it's fun. If I go to details, to full size, that's how I take my screenshots now.
Yeah.
So I don't have to like open like five emulators. I just
like
run it and then just use it there. So
cool.
It's fun. Yeah. So it's a fun tip. So that essentially is, now you can see, you know, for this device, what is the peak memory, what is the CPU usage.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really great tool for you to test on. And they're continually updating our device inventory. So you can choose the most popular devices to test your daily builds, your regression test suites as you go
on. So this gives you the ability to see how the app is going to run on a variety of Android devices. And then you can see, oh, it works on this, these types of devices, but on this particular device, it keeps failing right here.
Exactly. Not just Android, iOS as well. Yeah. But admittedly, the number of devices is smaller.
Right. It's a little smaller, and iOS is a little more stable, you know, in the sense that Android is completely open, so there's a large variety of flavors of it. There aren't that many flavors of iOS. There's the official flavor,
and that's it.
So you certainly have to test on multiple devices, but the risk of somebody's particular version of the OS messing up your app is not that high on Android or Windows. I'm sorry, on iOS or Windows, but it's much greater on Android. So this gives you the ability to kind of identify that.
Yes. So, you know, Zamtest Cloud is an absolutely amazing product and something you should definitely have if you are building mobile applications. It kind of takes a lot of the worry out of you about, hey, how does it look like? I don't have to go buy 100 devices to test my app anymore. I just can use Zamtest Cloud integration. So now we talked about continuous integration. I want to now switch to Azure. So this is my Azure dashboard. Mm-hmm. This is a live production service that's running. You can see that, hey, is the Azure IoT Hub that I'm using. It has 15,553 messages, 9,231 are real and simulated devices that is actually connecting to this instance of IoT Hub for a production service. You can see all the input events from my archiving job. You can see the different logs.
So this is everybody who's ever run this?
Yes.
Real or in
simulated mode?
Simulated. She's showing up here.
Yes.
Okay.
So I can see that we have geo-replicated on East and West US to have some failover because of the live service that, you know, customers are connecting to for demo purposes, right? We have resource utilization on the DB, the latency, beautiful information from Application Insights that tells me what the server response time looks like. So all that fun stuff. So the best part about the Azure portal, you can actually build your own custom dashboards and customize that to your heart's content. So this is something that we built to demo how the production service looks like. So if I go click on this, I can open a particular resource and actually monitor the status of it. Right now there's no available data, but as you can see, I can look at anything that's actually happening on the service. So now we talked about the dashboard. Before we switch, I just want to show you Hockey app as well. We kind of missed that. So this is a dashboard for Hockey app. So this is the Android dashboard. You can see number of crashes that happened, number of downloads that happened in the last 7 days, the number of active users using the application, the session count, all the data just comes from Hockey app SDK integration. I can even invite users, manage the app, and do a whole bunch of analysis and on my application.
So in addition to giving to being a great way to manage pre-release versions and get it out to people, the primary benefit is that it's collecting analytics, right? Crashes, usage, etc.
And user feedback, real and verbatim, as well as whatever we collect, right? You can actually give your feedback, or you can actually do it. And the primary use case, obviously, is a distribution. That's a key part of Hockey app as well. So it gives you everything in a single package. It's a part of our service offering.
So the question of how does it compare it to something like Application Insights or Xamarin Insights? The answer is that we're taking both Application Insights and Xamarin Insights and essentially moving it over to Hockey app.
For client scenarios, Application Insights is still it's going to be focused on server-side scenarios. And Hockey app is essentially, imagine that instead of Xamarin Insights and Hockey app and Application Insight, Hockey app is a way that we're going to do client analytics, distribution, and things going forward.
Okay,
so
got it.
That is where we have we are. So here you can see a bunch of crashes, and I can actually debug that using it. Switching back to, so before we look at the, this is the Service Fabric UI. So I just wanted a quick overview. So you can see I talked about a Win Application Service, right? So if I look at it, I can see the different nodes
here. So for people that may not know, what is the Service Fabric?
Service Fabric is a new, it's an Azure offering that is currently, it's an Azure service offering that is currently GA. It essentially enables you to build and maintain microservices. Okay. So traditionally, web servers are huge, right? There's a huge monolithic structures with hundreds of APIs and surface area. Microservice enables you to build these small, standalone, stateful services that allows you to do a specific job. This enables a lot mm-hmm. of flexibility in rolling back, deploying versions without having to take multiple services down. So to showcase this, we actually built a small microservice as part of my driving that does bin lookup.
So why do I need a service fabric to for microservices?
It actually
right, so instead of building one big web mm-hmm. service, uh-huh. I build a bunch of smaller microservices.
Yes.
So I understand from a development perspective uh-huh. why that's better. It's a smaller thing to test, smaller thing to write. You can get additional people writing it. You can swap them in and out as uh-huh. needed.
Yes.
Why do I need a service fabric to run these?
Yeah, it actually, like, I think service fabric provides a lot of ways to monitor. Manage
okay.
these different nodes, these replications
okay.
across. So it's an amazing technology for you to actually run these at scale and run these at scale and make sure they're available and performant.
So I guess the question is, does it change the way I call these from my client?
No, not really.
Okay.
From a WinApp, actually.
So the service fabric is giving me a better ability to manage these things.
Yes. In this instance, we actually don't call the WinApp service from the client. It's actually called, it just listens to the events in Event Hub and
okay.
crosses on its own. There's no surface
okay.
area here. So it's a small thing that just listens to an unassured service. It's not publicly exposed. So it's a great, pretty, I would suggest if you're writing customer side.
Okay, so the device is gathering data. It's a dumb device. It doesn't know what to do with the data.
Uh-huh.
It sends it to the phone, which then sends it on to Azure. And at that point, Azure, there are jobs that gather the data, store it somewhere, analyze it, a bunch of code runs.
Yes.
Those are all the microservices.
No, we just have actually one single microservice, and that
okay.
is just for WinApp application lookup.
Okay.
A lot of the stuff that I actually showed you was done just through configuration.
Okay.
There's very little imperative code running in the cloud for us to actually get this running.
Okay.
That shows the simplicity
well,
of using Azure.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of this work can be just done by plugging and putting together the right.
It's kind of a bit of a different mindset for me as a developer
uh-huh.
because I'm used to if something's going to happen, I got to call something.
Uh-huh.
Often I wrote that, maybe somebody else wrote it, but somebody had to write that code.
Yes.
And so the apps are client calling a bunch of code that does things
uh-huh.
that works on data. But in this app, we've got a sensor collecting data, sending it off somewhere else. For all of the analysis to be done, not necessarily through code I have to write, and then the front end is just displaying reports, if
yes,
you will.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
So
tracking your movement
yeah.
and then displaying data.
To be clear, it's we do have a lot of SQL code for the data factory, analytics.
Mm-hmm.
We have
okay.
What we call streaming analytics queries that we have built to process the information. But very the only imperative code that we have, like C# and .NET, is in the WinApp application service in the Azure App Service that is a backend for the mobile application.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of things was just done through configurations and non-imperative code.
I mean, it's kind of like the way this thing works, right? I mean, this thing is also a sensor and a tracker.
Mm-hmm.
It gathers data and sends it off somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do much with the data itself,
yes,
if anything at all.
Yeah, data collection, while it's
yeah.
interesting, what you can do with the data is what's really amazing, right?
Right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And how we visualize it is actually brings the power forward. And that's the whole thing about Azure.
Right.
That's what it enables you to do. Moving on, I want to finally show you our Power BI dashboards. So this is a live dashboard. In the map, you can actually see folks actually driving, if they are driving, the real life information as soon as they come in.
Really?
Yeah, you can see the average speed, average RPM, trip length, engine
can
load.
You zero in on a particular?
No, we don't no, we don't identify you. You actually, when you log in, we just use the user
yeah.
ID. We don't store anything
right,
else.
Okay.
Privacy constraints, man. So you gotta be careful.
No, I mean, can you focus in not on a particular dot there?
Uh-huh. Yes, I can just zoom in as much as the
okay.
map allows me to.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it just shows you how you have traveled over time.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Where is that?
It's actually at 520. No, it's 520, right? No, 24. What is there? It's a simulated data on 280 right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to now move over to our hourly dashboard. This is real-time information.
Mm-hmm.
If I go to my the demo, which is hourly, you can see the number of drivers. the total trips that we have taken, mm-hmm. good versus bad drivers, that comes from machine learning. So you can see moderate is this percentage, bad is this percentage, and good is this percentage. Average trip length, to people ignore check engine light, you know, and even better, like based on area, we can tell you like how people drive this. For example, here the split looks like this, mm-hmm. but here the split looks like slightly different. Mm. When you're near Marymount Park, I think people are careful because of kids. Or not, actually, it's actually worse. They don't really care.
Well, it's because the traffic backs up, so they spend a lot of time changing lanes.
I know, you can see that here.
Not that I ever drive like that, mind you.
So yeah, this is what our hourly dashboard looks like.
Cool.
And this is what the machine learning model that we have. So if you look at the training experiment, this is what the training experiment is. This is where all the data gets fed through on a daily basis. And this is the predictive experiment that actually processes that data and actually comes with a driver score that we actually present on the UI.
And this is also written up in the reference guide, this kind of stuff?
Yes, and we also deploy the machine learning package to your workspace in the scripts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
amazing.
Cool.
Okay. So I just showed you a whole bunch of dashboards. Now let's go actually deploy our service on our own, which would be fun. So I'm going to go to my GitHub repository, my local repo. So GitHub, my driving scripts. In scripts, you can see PowerShell. If you're in Mac and Linux, you would use your bash scripts. Mm-hmm. I'm going to open my PowerShell script, open a PowerShell instance. And then just do a PowerShell. I'm going to do dot deploy dot ps1. The first parameter I have to pass is a region I want to actually create this in.
Okay.
So I'm going to say, let's say West US, right? That's where we are. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give a name for my resource group. So all the resources I'm building is going to deploy to one Azure resource group. And I'm going to say my driving toolbox and hit enter. At this point, it asks me for my, you know. So I'm just going to quickly give my password. If nobody see my password, this is my MSDN account.
Didn't work?
Yeah, more. Sorry. Yeah, every time I close my this thing, it actually.
Okay, now it's got the two-factor authentication.
I have two-factor everywhere. Yeah, it's going to.
I know.
4-6. Yeah, I keep telling that I sign in frequently. Yeah, as you can see, it found my environment, mm-hmm. and it's saying how many days I want on the Azure Data Factory pipelines. I'm just going to say, let's say I want to run for 1 day.
Okay.
These are all the jobs that does analysis for your Power BI and machine learning and things like that. I'm going to hit enter. It's creating the resource grid, and it started deploying all the prerequisites and anything that you wanted.
Okay.
So a lot more details about the script and how to execute it are actually given. If you go back to our GitHub repository,
mm-hmm.
go to the scripts folder, we have a very detailed script, readme, that tells you exactly the steps that you need to do. It's very simple, it's very easy to get started and deploy this whole thing to services,
mm-hmm.
go to your dashboard, play with it, and figure out, you know, how you want to actually customize it or deploy it and do whatever you want with it.
Cool.
Yeah. So, again, I would highly recommend all of you to actually go to azure.com, Campaign My Driving. The easier URL is basically azure.com/mydriving,
mm-hmm.
And get started.
Sweet. So that's a very cool sample app that shows, you know, I think a great example of and a very practical example of how you build these IoT connected type
mm-hmm.
devices, which is obviously the next big frontier in development.
Mm-hmm.
These connected devices, whether it's a sensor in the house, or the car, or the band, or
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatnot. Very, very cool.
Yeah, it is. It was a really interesting experience. I was pleasantly surprised how easy it was to actually get started.
Mm-hmm.
I use Visual Studio for everything, including Xamarin, doing most of the service coding. You can see everything in the Cloud Explorer. So the whole VS experience really tied it together for us. And VSTS was amazing to get continuous integration for us
mm-hmm.
to be very iterative in the development cycle.
Okay.
Because you have to be for 6 to 8 weeks, you have to know results really soon.
Right.
So that was a godsend for us. It was amazing. Yeah.
So people can download all the source code, they can download the docs, they can play around with it, they can do it themselves, they can go get one of those devices, plug it into their car, and start tracking their own driving and see whether or not the machine learning, what it has to say about them.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Then think about, you know, other ways to build similar applications with sensors.
Oh, you can take apart our code, take pieces for your own different application you're building. Some of the code is very reusable irrespective of the domain. Right. Even some of the Azure side in terms of architecture, you can easily extend it or customize it to your own. For us, it's a reference sample, right? That gives you an idea of what to use, what to tie together to accomplish something like this.
Right. How do you do the? How? What does an app in this space look like, and how would you do a similar one?
Exactly.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for showing that to us.
Thanks, Robert.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Interested in your comments on this type of episode in the future. Do we strike a good balance between talking and showing code? What do you guys think of this? As always, love to hear from you. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. Yeah, happy to be here.
We will see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.